It's The Playbook with Satyar Shah and John Jang on Sportsnet 650.
Well, let's bring in our good friend, our number one center, Ren Lavoie from TVA Sports into the conversation. Ren, number one, thanks for joining us today. How are you?
Thanks for having me. Number one center, not sure about that one, though. I was struggling between, you know, around the dots. So that's why I guess I didn't play much at a high level.
Well, hey, listen, I'm more of a third line center and John's sort of the same thing. So for us, you are definitely a premier top flight center. So we're really happy to have you on board here. But, you know, we were talking about the Canucks and where they're headed as an organization. It's pretty clear that this season is one, yeah, considering they're 29th, it's going to be about the future. Do you think the Canucks are coming closer to that realization where they're looking, yeah, at this and saying, you know what, come a few weeks, we're going to have to move some guys out?
Yeah, I think we're there. I mean, seeing, you know, the Canucks first hand on Sunday versus the Montreal Canadiens, honestly, the problem is depth, really, with this franchise right now, because with all the injured players, it's obvious that it's difficult for the Canucks to just win games. It's not like they're playing that badly. It's just a question that every time there's a mistake, it feels like the puck is, you know, behind the goaltender quickly. So, but you know what? Saying that, I saw the farm team Utica on Wednesday in Laval, where the Montreal Canadiens farm team is right now. And honestly, I was really impressed by some of the young players playing for Utica. So that's a really good sign. I mean, I know people in Vancouver, they don't want to hear about how good maybe Utica is. They have tons of injured players too, but it didn't show at all. They were by far the best team on the ice in Laval. So it's going to be interesting to see what's going to come next. But one thing though, and I want to mention that seeing a guy playing like Guillaume Brisebois, the defenseman from Montreal, who's mm-hmm. playing in Utica. I mean, this is a defenseman in my book, young guy, that's going to play in the NHL at one point. So I know it's a grind maybe for, you know, fans in Vancouver, but the good news is in the minors, they have really something interesting right now going on. And obviously the future for me looks brighter than anything else for the Canucks, but for the Canucks, as a team, as an organization, the next month will be really interesting. I feel like they're going to have to make some moves at some point to, you know, make sure that in the future they'll be obviously better. And at the same time, it's good to have young good players that you drafted and that are playing well in your farm team.
Renault, late last year, you identified the Toronto Maple Leafs as one team that could be interested in trading for, yeah, Eric Gudbranson. Recently, Don Cherry, our colleague, said on Hockey Night in Canada that it probably would take maybe something like Brown or Mitch Marner for a trade like that to make sense for the Canucks. Do you believe that the Toronto Maple Leafs are still perhaps the best trading partner in terms of Gudbranson?
Yeah, but for Brown or no, Mitch Marner, he's UFA, guys, at the end of the season.
Yeah.
I mean, that doesn't make sense. That doesn't add up at all. And yes, I do feel it's a perfect fit. I mean, that guy was born in Ottawa. I mean, it's obvious that the Toronto Maple Leafs are a big part of Ontario. Who doesn't want to play for the Toronto Maple Leafs in today's world? I mean, yes, I feel like it's going to be a team like the Maple Leafs because that's what they really need. Now, watching the Maple Leafs versus Columbus this week or versus Ottawa on Wednesday, I mean, you don't need to be a scientist to know that they really need good defensemen. And saying that, you know what, guys, maybe I'm going to surprise you a little bit, but you need to look at Tampa too as a possibility.
Right.
Why I'm saying that is because of Sergachev. He's a young defenseman. Yes, he's playing well, but in his own zone, I mean, he's struggling big time. And that's the type of defenseman that they're looking at. And I'm not saying that Sergachev, you know, is not a good defenseman in the future. No, he is. He is the future of this franchise at the blue line. But we all know that it's going to take more than that in the playoffs. And if you're John Cooper, if you're Steve Yzerman, for sure you're going to look at what a team like the Canucks can offer. Is it going to cost a first-round pick? No. Is it going to cost a young player, a young prospect? No. Can it be part of a bigger trade? I don't know. Maybe that's a possibility. But what I really do see right now is a lot of teams, we're going to call the Canucks to make sure that, you know what, there's a couple of pieces that are really interesting, and you want to make sure that those pieces are going to play for you if you're a good playoff team, obviously.
Are we talking about possibly just a draft pick or two for a guy like Eric Goodbranson? Because historically speaking, Jim Benning doesn't often execute trades where the Canucks only get draft picks in return.
No, but maybe this time he doesn't have any more. He doesn't have, you know, in a way I understand his decision. But you cannot lose that player on July 1st and not getting at least a second rounder in return, right?
Right.
Or if it's part of a bigger trade, that's another story. So, I mean, there's still a lot of times between now and then, the trading deadline before, obviously, that trade's going to happen. I don't expect that trade to happen next week. I expect that trade to happen maybe somewhere in February, maybe second or third week. But, you know, it's like Thomas Vanek. Thomas Vanek is not going to finish the season with the Canucks. Makes no sense at all that he finished the season with the Canucks. Mm-hmm. Alex Biega is going to be RFA, a UFA too. You have to wonder about Biega, you know, being traded. So, like I said, guys, Jim Benning's going to receive tons of phone calls. There'll be some teams interested in Vanek, some in Goodbranson, some in Alex Biega. And he's going to have to make the best trade possible for the future of the Canucks. He can't think about anything else. And if it's a second-round pick, it's going to be a second-round pick. You cannot lose a player like Eric Goodbranson on July 1st and not getting anything in return. You're going to – I mean, you're not doing your job if you're doing something like that.
We're in conversation with Ren Lavoie from TVA Sports here on Sportsnet 650 with Sat and John. And you're absolutely right. They cannot lose these guys for nothing. Now, Thomas Vanek's an interesting one because last year he was traded for a conditional third-round pick, which was not met, by the way, because Florida failed to make the playoff. Dylan McElrath was just kind of a throw-in prospect in that trade. What sort of value could Vanek have? Can a team, if the Canucks get ahead of this, maybe look to move him sooner? Could they get a second-round pick for him this time around?
Well, you know what? It's not like Thomas Vanek is not having a good season.
Right.
30 points or close to 30 points in 43 games. I mean, he scored some big goals for the Canucks. Is he going to be a savior? No. Is he the type of player, depth-wise, that really can help your franchise if you want to go as far as possible in the playoffs? There's no doubt about that, guys. Like I said, you need players like that. They're going to have maybe less responsibility. They're maybe going to play on the third line. They're going to probably play on a second power play. And you know what? If they're playing on a really, really good team, like let's say the Tampa Bay Lightning, are they going to play every night? Maybe not. But if there's an injured player, you know that they're capable of jumping in quickly and making sure that you're going to forget about your injured player. So that's why I'm saying it's really key right now for the Canucks to find a good trading partner, and for sure Thomas Vanek is really going to help.
Yeah, no, for sure. I think the Canucks are open to that. The question is, will they be able to pull a trade off that's going to help everybody? Now, before we move off the Canucks, I want to ask about Jim Benning's future, because it is an issue. He is in the final year of his contract. The team has not extended him yet. And when asked about it, Trevor Linden sort of passed, saying we're going to reevaluate once the season comes to an end. Is that a bad sign for a sitting GM when the president of the team doesn't really come out and say he's a part of the long-term future? Like, do you sort of see this as wait and see before the season ends?
That's a great question. I mean, it's obvious that Trevor Linden is close to him. So that's really helping, honestly. The fact that Trevor is involved in the day-to-day you know, work that needs to be done. I mean, it's just major for Jim Benning and for the organization. So, no, you know what? It doesn't matter right now what's going to happen with Jim. I think he's got responsibilities. He's the GM of that team, and he needs to make sure that the franchise will be as good as possible. I think that when you're looking at Jim Benning, he's the type of man that every organization needs. Is he going to be the GM next season? We don't know yet. Is he going to stay with the Canucks on another another position? That's a possibility. You never know what's going to happen, but I don't think that Jim Benning right now is really focusing on his future. He's really focusing on what's going on with the Canucks.
Ren, we are about 6 weeks away from the NHL trade deadline. We saw a trade go down earlier this week, Arizona and Chicago. I hate the fact that teams are still trying to help Chicago. I just wish that they would get stuck in financial jail where they sort of belong to be. But one name that I've been hearing lately, which is surprising to me, is Oliver Ekman-Larsson, also from Arizona. Does it make sense for the Coyotes to trade, obviously, their franchise player?
That's a great question. They're doing a lot of things that are – there's a lot of GMs around the league right now that they just don't understand what's going on with the Coyotes. Mm-hmm. The fact that they got Panic, Richard Panic, is not going to help this team this year for sure. It's not a really good contract. It's kind of a gift that, you know, they made to the Blackhawks by trading young players for Richard Panik. I mean, it's tough to understand what's going on with the Coyotes. I mean, yes, it's not the last move, I'm telling you. Mm. I expect the Canucks, not the Canucks, but the Coyotes to make other moves. And right now, those moves, I don't understand how they can really, really help the franchise. It's kind of weird, to be honest with you. But the Blackhawks are not done, guys. I was with them on Tuesday in Ottawa. It's obvious that the team that they have right now is not going to be a Stanley Cup champion this year. But now they have Duclair, who's really going to help on the third line. It's more depth. It's pure skills. And if they can get a couple of bodies on the blue line, you never know what's going to happen. Sometimes, and that's key when you have franchise players like Taves or Kane or Keat. It's not complicated to turn things around, honestly. And Crawford is going to be back at one point, one of the most underrated goaltender in the league. So, you know what, you have to look at the Blackhawks and Stan Bowman and watch closely what they're going to do. I really do think they're not done, and they're going to try everything to make sure that they're going to be a contender at one point. But right now, they're not, but we'll see what's going to happen between now and the deadline.
I think it surprised a lot of people when the Chicago Blackhawks scratched Brent Seabrook. Now, was that just a coach trying to send a message to his team, or is that part of something bigger here that perhaps we're just all sort of missing at the moment?
Well, I think it's all of the above. I mean, he's not playing at the level that he was supposed to, and he acknowledged that. I think it's one of the worst seasons for Seabrook in his career. Mm-hmm. That being said, is it the end of the world? No. Is he going to be traded at one point between now and the end of the season? No. I don't expect that. Can something happen, though, during the off season? You never know. That's still a possibility. But yes, they wanted to send a message to the rest of the group that some things were not acceptable. They played really well in Ottawa, lost a big game at home versus the Wild on Wednesday. So, and for them, it was a playoff game, so it was a tough break for them. But when you're scoring 8 goals and you're playing on a back-to-back, the second game's going to be really complicated for you, and it's exactly what happens. So, no, I think there was a message to be sent. I think now Brent Seabrook understands what he needs to do. He needs to be more involved on the ice. And it was a tough decision, but it was at that time the right decision.
Ren Lavoie, TVA Sports, here on Sportsnet 650. Great stuff as always. Always a pleasure having you on. Really informative, and we look forward to talking to you later this month, and hopefully have more trades to talk about, Ren. Go and enjoy your weekend.
Pretty sure it's going to be the next few weeks. We're going to be really excited.
Yeah, it'll be a fun time. So really appreciate talking in soon, my friend.
Thank you.
Sportsnet 650.